I know someone who got out of jail, found an old flip phone, had all this Bitcoin on it pre-jail.
What?
And came out and had like $40 million worth of Bitcoin. And I would say that's a metaphor for my dating life.
What?
Yikes. I'm not going to even take it.
Great.
That analogy is so all over the place. Like, are you the Bitcoin? Are you the phone? Are you the person that finds the phone? I am lost in that analogy.
Jesus Christ on a bicycle, Adam Pally, Zoe Lister-Jones, Lamour Morris, hello and welcome to Bad Dates. How is everyone?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm good. I'm so excited that you're here. This is a podcast that is just about everything that we do and are willing to encounter on the road to love, to shagging, and both. And I have had a very limited dating life because of my personality, and therefore I like to vicariously live through the lives and stories of others. And so I'm thrilled that you're all here, and I can't wait to hear your stories. Before we get into that, I just want to ask you all, just to put the shoe on the other foot, what is it like, do you think, to date you, starting with Lamorne?
Ooh, to date me? In a word, glorious. So it is a whirlwind for sure. No, I could say, there's two versions of me. There's pre-child and then there's post-child, you know. Before I had a kid, I would say I was a fairly adventurous individual. You know, I like to do things, not like outdoorsy or anything, but I'd like to.
Like,
you just mean sexually?
Stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, butt stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff. If there's a hole, I'm going. No, it's pretty general with me. You know, I like to do everything. I like to experience everything or play or try everything. Not talking sexually, I'm just talking overall. You know what I mean? I was game.
Yeah, yeah. Fun loving guy.
Yeah.
But now,
I gotta say, bitch, I ain't got the time. I'm busy. I have a kid and I would love to do things, but I'm the kind of guy now that's more laid back and I'll allow you to steer the ship, you know, and I'm still getting,
cause you're tired.
I'm tired. And my focus
you're a bit
is
tired,
on this
babe.
Little girl. You know what I mean? So it's just been, it's been a down 2.5. I haven't been dating anybody really. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Also, you can't take the same kind of risks as you could when you were adventurous, because now someone's depending on you. So that sort of bungee jumping first date is no longer on the cards.
Exactly.
No, you can't. No, I feel that. But it sounds like you're a respectful, fun loving guy. That sounded great. Pre the child. Now it sounds like a shame. Zoe, what would you say it's like to date you?
Oh God. You know, well, I don't know. I was in a relationship for so long. I was in a relationship for 17 years. So I haven't had a ton of dating experience. Lamorne just had a stroke. You knew that, Lamorne. Also,
I know.
I also, by the way, love that you all know each other, because it means that you can all call each other out on any bullshit that comes out here. Any propaganda that you put out here about your dating lives can be deconstructed by the friend.
I would never call anybody out on that. I'd be like, good for you.
Yeah, stones also, from glass houses.
Yeah.
Both Adam and Lamorne have played my partners in films.
That's
so
true.
So they could talk about what it's like to fictionally date me.
Yeah, cool. Very clingy.
I would like to know what they think it's like to fictionally date me.
Well, we were fictionally married.
We were fictionally married.
Yeah. So it's a little different. It's a little different.
We were fictionally pegging, I think.
We were fictionally pegging. And I think between I think pegging and marriage, it does sort of sum up what it's like to date me. it's somewhere between those two things, or both of them at the same time.
Adam, what would you say it was like to date you?
I think it's probably pretty great to date me. I mean, the only negative is that I am married. No, I think there's probably ups and downs. you know, from someone who's kind of lived a life. And like, I think
this is getting very politician-y.
I'm trying to be like, live a life in entertainment. And so there's a certain like narcissism that I think is probably very hard to date me in a lot of ways. So I would probably apologize for that beforehand and then hope that it doesn't get too out of control that the relationship can sustain.
Oh, that was such a sincere answer. I applaud that, Adam. That's great. Bad dates.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Zoe, your story is called The Rule Breaker.
Well, this was like in college. I had not yet met my ex-husband. There was this boy that was my age in college, maybe a year or two older. And he was covered in tattoos. He had like so many piercings. Mm-hmm. And I was like immediately drawn to him. He felt like trouble. Mm-hmm. Started to like date sort of casually, but we were spending like some time together. And when we first went out to eat, we went to Veselka, sort of a, you know, a classic East Village establishment. Mm-hmm. And as we're passing like a table that's just cleared, he picks up a piece of half eaten cake off the plate and puts it in his mouth with his hands. And my whole body sort of atrophied. When I sat down, I didn't even know how to address it.
Like, did you think he was doing a bit, like, trying to shock you? No?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. I was like, I was paralyzed. I was like, right. So we sat down and I didn't say anything and we kept eating. And the whole time I was like, I'm in such severe danger. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is, I saw my life flash from my eyes, but I stayed with him. We didn't talk about it. And then we went on another date. We were walking down the street. I was like, we're not going to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. We're walking down the street and we walk past like a patio that has tables. And just walking down the street, he reaches over that patio. He grabs some half-eaten sandwich, picks it up, and then we keep walking and he's eating someone's garbage. Oh. Someone's garbage. And so then I had to ask him what was happening. And he didn't like readily identify as a freegan, although that was like,
will you sort explain of, like, what that is for everyone?
A freegan, it was like, at that time especially, it was like people that were like dumpster diving, but like to make a statement about like food waste or the environment.
Yeah, like, they weren't people who needed to eat like that. They were people who chose to as an identity.
Right. And he was also like dabbling in like Hare Krishna. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so like there were things at play. I almost would have respected it more if it was like, if he was trying to make a political statement. I think he was just trying to fuck with me. And then he like, he shaved his entire head and just left one patch of a rat tail in the back. Mm-hmm. And that's what I started to feel that, you know, it was, I was being sort of, I was being tested sort of minute by minute. But the biggest test was that when we went to have sex, he did have, eight barbells in his dick that were.
Oh my god, Zoe!
What the fuck is going on?
What do you mean by barbells? Don't say barbells casually, as if we all know what that is. Explain anyway, so explicitly what that is.
Yeah. Adam, what was your story?
Explain the barbells.
Wait, talk about the barbells. What are we seeing here? Okay, we have shaft. What's on and in?
Yeah, is this like a Peloton? Like
what? It's not a pussy.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so.
So they were 25 pounders sort of hanging. They were like horizontal, they were perpendicular to the shaft on the underside of the shaft going. Can you picture what I'm saying?
So just
like
sort of
like a ladder
going through with knobs on the outside.
That's
like
right.
Like bolts on the outside. Okay.
He's like, climb up on that, man.
But stairway to heaven. At least. Yeah.
And chip a tooth?
And I had never had braces, so I was like, really, like, you know, these
unprepared.
It's a good thing you didn't. You would have been electrocuted. Fucking battery.
And then I knew that I had to break up with him. And
why?
Mostly because I didn't like his parents.
Dick.
No, I'm just kidding. His dad had a crazy sports car. That was like really cool. It was a very like sort of romantic comedy moment of like us biking around New York and me like calling to him from the bike, being like, I don't think this is working. And I just wanted to be able to bike away, you know? But he was like, I'm breaking up with you. And so riding down the street, we were fighting about who was breaking up with who on the bikes. And then we crashed.
Oh my God.
We crashed on Houston and we both had to get up in the middle of Houston. And sort of like part, we did laugh and we parted ways.
Oh no.
Wait, so why had he done that to his penis? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I think because he was like young and experimenting. And I think he was like, he was looking to like probably make his parents angry.
But was he ripped for your pleasure? Like what is.
I don't think that was his intention.
Right. Okay.
Because also it made safe sex impossible.
Oh God.
Maybe that was his intention.
Yeah. Maybe that was this Nick Cannon?
So anyway, it was Nick Cannon, and that's sort of the big finish.
Oh man,
I can see Nick Cannon liking to ride on the back of a two-person bicycle.
Oh, that's interesting, Adam. Were you picturing that tandem?
Yeah.
Working up on a tandem bike.
Okay, so I have one of my best friends is freegan adjacent, where he will like sit in like Nando's is a chicken restaurant that we love to go to in London, and he will get up off a table, like we have a full table of food, like fresh food just for us, and if he sees people on tables around us leave half-eaten chicken, he will leave the fresh food that has only touched his mouth, and he will go to their table and eat their chicken off the bone.
No.
Off the bone, which feels like sucking someone else's lollipop. Like that to me is like, I can take a cake. I'll take a cake. But eating someone else's chicken off the bone fucking horrifies me. If you don't need to, it horrifies me. I get the point that everyone's making. But for me, I'm just like, then if I kiss you, then what? Whose germs am I getting on
whose
my mouth?
Whose chicken am I sucking? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fernando.
that is That is foul and interesting. And
I have been known to like come back to a hotel drunk, and if there is like room service left in the hallway, 100%. I have grabbed.
You have?
Yeah, I've grabbed a chicken finger, a fry, a fried shrimp.
I would never grab anything that looks like it's been in anyone else's mouth. Nothing bit. Yeah, nothing bit. Fresh. Nothing bit. We're not animals.
Right. I'm not a. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Do you go out of your way to? Have you ever lifted the lid very 100%. Quietly? Yeah. Look okay, my man.
Jamila, look at me.
I'm so with you. Yeah, yeah.
Look at me.
I'm a lid lifter. Lift the lid, Pally.
Yeah, you don't get a full face from not lifting the lid.
Good for us.
I'll tell you something. I do like to share a lollipop.
All right, that's a metaphor, and
from experience, right. No, but from experience of being fake married to Zoe, I will say that like Zoe will overlook, like, she still dated that guy for like a long time with a ladder dick. Like, she dated ladder dick for
Did you ever shank the ladder dick? Did you try it just to try it?
I was too afraid.
Yeah, that's fair.
So like Zoe is like very loving, like, you know, very loving and very, very like I feel like it. I don't think that if Zoe and I came back to a hotel wasted and I ate like a fried shrimp, that would be a game.
A deal breaker.
You know what? I'm trying to imagine you wanking off. I'm just trying to imagine, like, how does one wank off someone with that many bolts in their penis? Do you sort of have to approach it like a recorder? No, I know. I'm not asking. It's not about you anymore, Zoe. Okay.
Sorry.
Why don't you just calm down?
You're saying like the royal you?
Yeah, the fingers. Do you have to put your fingers in between each bolt? Like a bowling ball. Like a recorder, and then just sort of do like sort of mini wanks in between each section.
Yeah, you gotta play it like a flute.
Wow.
You gotta Lizzo it.
This man is living on the edge. He's really lived. We should get him on the show. Okay. We'll be right back. Bad dates. As a business owner, I can tell you from experience that shipping can make or break a sale. Now, as your business grows, maybe you should use ShipStation because they can help optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easy handle returns. They have effortless integration everywhere you could possibly think of selling online, including Amazon, Walmart, Shopify, and more. And you'll be able to manage orders, print labels, compare rates, optimize every shipment, and automate delivery notifications in one simple dashboard. Be sure to check out their industry-leading discounted rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post, with discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And over 130,000 companies have already grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, and 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. So optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use the promo code BADDATES today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code BADDATES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're looking to set some boundaries between friends or family, therapy can help. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself so you don't feel drained. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/baddates today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/baddates.
Bad dates. And we're back. Lemorne, your two stories are called New York Stories. It's very elusive, and I'm dying to hear what happened. Let's go with the first one.
So when I dated in New York, it was probably in the beginning of my outwardly sexual phase, I guess, when I was like, I had just lost my virginity previous to moving to New York. and then lost it late, I guess you would say. I was 19. And then...
Does inwardly sexual being the opposite of that just mean a lot of wanking?
Just a lot of porn.
Fair. Lots. That's fair.
No. Mm. No porn. Back in the day, it was too scrambled. You know, you have to watch Cinemax and the TV was like this. So I didn't watch porn. You know what I mean? I just used my imagination tantrically. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch MTV Spring Break, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I think that was our generation's porn.
Yeah.
The grind.
The grind. BET Uncut.
106 and Park would do like their Spring Break too, and it would be fun.
Oh yeah,
that's wild. That's what happened. I started hosting for BET, and I moved to New York. And
that's how you. Oh shit!
Whoa.
So you're a hot commodity.
God, that is 0 to 100 as well.
My God. I was just out there dangling. You know what I'm saying? I was young and new. Everybody was like, oh, he's new.
You were dangling that dick?
Yes.
Wow.
Did you have a windmill? Yeah.
Oh, come on, Jesus, I'm not a porn star. You think I'm, okay, think I'm carrying fine. That
no,
kind of
fair.
Weight?
No, I was just wondering.
What's a windmill? Do you go
You can swing your penis or
use
your tits.
Use your imagination.
And you can just swing them round and round and round, and they generate electricity and they save the planet.
That's right.
Oh, that's what wind turbine.
Yeah.
So I met this girl during a time when I was like, you know, being outside a lot. Mm-hmm. I meet this girl. Everything's fine. And it was one of those New York relationships where you kind of moved quick and you went everywhere together. You walk to this bar, you go here, you go there. And I felt like I fell in love with her overnight. I introduced her to my friends, family, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? We would, like, friends were going to, like, the Hamptons, and I would take her, and they would go, oh, we love her. And this is all within, like, 4 or 5 days. You know, it got to the point where...
And the kissing was good, the sex was good, like, everything...
All of that
tends across the board. Right.
Fantastic. You know what I mean? It was great for her, and it was even greater for me. Just like you said, 106 at Park... Roxy, who was hosting at the time, she mm-hmm. would have these little parties at her house, and I would bring out. And so obviously she's like a TV personality, so she's got all these cool clothes. She's got all this cool stuff. And she loved the girl that I was dating so much that she would like give her clothes. They were the same size. She was in her circle, and she was in my sister's circle and all that stuff. Within a few days.
Incredible.
And every time we would like walk into a door, we'd burst the door open and we'd have sex and throw everything off the desk. We would do it just like the white movies did it.
The white movies.
One day we're sitting in my apartment and she says, oh, I have to go visit some family in Atlanta. I said, oh, okay, cool. She says, can you take me to the train station? I was like, when? She said, now. I was like, oh. That's quick. All right. Go to the train station. She gets a ticket. It says North Carolina. And I was like, oh, are you? I thought you were going to Atlanta. She's like, oh, I'm going to go to North Carolina. I'm going to get, I have a car there. Then I'm going to drive my car to Atlanta. And I was like, all right, this is a little strange. She goes, she leaves. And then I get a phone call. I get a phone call from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The Federal Investigation. They call me to inform me that this woman that I have been seeing, that I have fallen in love with, is wanted. is a wanted fugitive.
What do you mean?
She on the run, y'all. She on the run.
Okay, so they'd been tracking her the whole time?
Yeah, so she ended up, the weird thing about it was, you know, her, I would get these...
Wait, what had she done? Why was she on the run?
It was it was major credit card fraud and identity theft.
Identity theft.
And how was she able to pull this, like, how was she doing this? Was it just via dating people and stealing their shit?
She worked in a hotel.
Oh, she's a genius. No wonder you fell in love with her.
Yeah. She worked in a hotel. She had best rooms.
Oh my God. That must have been such a crushing feeling. Like, given that you thought you were like in the love of your life and then
100%.
You don't know if anything's true. Do you feel like what you had was real though? Do you feel like she was just like playing you for free shit and for a fun experience? Was she hiding out like in, you know, your domain or was it real?
I thought it was, I mean, here's the thing. When you go to a strip club, you feel like they all fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Okay. A good actor is a good actor.
Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ. That's one of the wildest stories I've ever heard. No one ever thinks the FBI is getting involved in their relationship. Good God.
No, not at all. Unless you're...
Well done for getting out of that unstolen from. All right. So you have another story that I also really want to hear. Okay.
This was quick. This is this very lovely young lady. She was in town and she had like a shoot for Victoria's Secret or something. I was 20. She was 19 or 20. No, I was 21. She's my age. And so she,
those numbers just shifted wildly.
Yeah, I was thinking
wildly.
Because I was able to drink.
She was 19, I was 25, she was my age.
Because I was able to drink.
Let me start over. We were both of age. That's the most important. Well,
I was just saying, because we were in bars, so I was trying to figure out at which part in New York did this happen? What part of my time in New York? But we were we were bar hopping.
Yeah. That's what he's trying to figure out. Yeah.
Right.
And so we must have been, we were 40. We were both 40. she had an ID. No, stop.
If anything, we do know that Lamorne definitely checked her ID because he was in his paranoia era.
Yeah, for sure.
Mine first.
Yeah.
But we were bar hopping. We met out, and that wasn't something that I did. You know, that wasn't part of my. I like to stay at home, play video games, go to basketball games, do stuff like that. We were literally moving around, like going to this bar. It was the best for one night. And I was shocked just because of how beautiful this person was, that she was spending all her time with me. I was like, I'm just a regular old dude. I was like, why are you? It was weird. It felt like a movie.
Because it was pre-mustache. It was pre-mustache. So you have to picture Lamorne like that. Yeah,
didn't have this. my testicles hadn't dropped yet. My voice was like a lot of octaves higher. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't truly been that dude. And so we're moving around and having fun, and we end up at this bar. And
the date's going well by this point.
When
right?
I say the
you,
date's going
are you getting
well,
intimate? Like,
yeah, we're like smooching a little bit.
Oh,
we're just holding hands. Felt like we were skipping through like the meatpacking district, just bar hopping. We were just like, everything was fine. Everything was very picturesque. And we end up in this other bar. It's very dark, very moody. There's a very like Soho housey vibe to it. It's like, you gotta be this close to see somebody really. And then we're into each other. And all of a sudden the door opens and Tyrese walks in.
Tyrese, the supermodel.
Yeah, the supermodel, the singer.
Actor, singer, triple actor, threat.
Yeah. Owner of a hibachi table in his backyard.
And a Starbucks.
Yep.
Yes.
Does Tyrese own a Starbucks?
In his backyard.
And a Benihana.
What do you mean?
He has a giant 20-person Benihana table and a personal Starbucks.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to be more plain about it.
If you go to Tyrese's house, you call the call box, you put an order in for a latte. Somebody will bring you one of them.
and then at night, you go sit down and they make an onion look like a choo-choo train.
Yes.
So Tyrese, the supermodel with the Starbucks in his backyard, walks into the room. Then what happens?
He's wearing a white fur coat.
Oh, not Tyrese wearing a white fur coat. Jesus, fuck me, Christ. That's like a Hype Williams video.
Don't say fuck me. Don't say that.
Okay, sorry. That's fair.
That's the energy we all got when he opened the door.
It's the energy everyone gets when he opens the door.
Is that Tyrese? He walked in. He walked behind us. He sees me. Now, I'm a TV host at BET. I hadn't met him before. Mm-hmm. We had done like something before, probably like months prior. And he says, what's up, brother? And he shakes my hand, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Tyrese is here. He walks around me to the other side and whispers in her ear. I don't know what he said, but I look back, and he's taking like two or three steps behind her, and he just stands there. She looks at me after such a lovely evening that we had, and she goes, well, it was nice meeting you.
Oh, my God.
That is fucking mental.
She got up and she disappeared.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, that's so upsetting and confusing, isn't it?
Gone, but never forgotten.
Say her say her name. We say her name.
I'm not going to say her name. She's very known. Yeah.
And did he know that you two were on a date, or did he presume that you were sort of, I don't know, friends with this lady?
Well, there's two things going through my mind, right? He either knew her already, and they had plans on hanging out. Her and I were moving about, and she maybe said, "Hey, I'm over here."
Oh.
Tyrese, me at the time, right now, I put me over Tyrese, sorry. That's just, you know, the confidence that I have in myself.
Good for you. Have you ever spoken to him about it since?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God, what did he say?
He said, "Yeah, that sounded like something I would do back then."
So casual.
He said, oh my God.
Well,
you know, her and I are still friends. We became friends later in life, and she acknowledges it.
It's crazy how someone can be so hot, though, that there's a small part of all of our brains, even though we're shocked and horrified on behalf of our good friend Lamorne, there's a tiny part, I'm sure, of everyone's brain that goes, it is Tyrese.
Jesus Christ.
I think I've told this story before, but I was once broken up with, and 3 weeks later, that person started dating Miss Universe, not Miss World, but the most beautiful woman in the universe. So I feel you on some
Sometimes
level.
You got to date down, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. Hey. All right, before things steam up too much.
This is also crazy to be the other guest on this show when it's like, yeah, I once got broken up with for a rabbi.
you know what? It's like, one of my close friends
I got left for Prince. Can you believe that? Prince?
One of my close friends got dumped for Mr. Bean.
All right.
Even that is amazing. That's great. Fucking great.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's fucked up. All right. We'll be right back. Bad dates.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back. Adam, your story is called Date Night.
Yes. So I married dating is... we have children and we schedule these like date nights. And it's kind of like the only way that you can, you know, make sure that you're still connected. You're, you know, not just kind of moving parallel. It's like you got to make sure that you're, you know, connecting. And about 6 months ago, we were fighting like pretty bad. And like my daughter, who's 8, was sleeping in our room again. That is like the worst, and it just like fucks everything up, and like then you're like sex starts to become like really hard to get to because you're like can't your space is gone, and so like then when that starts to fade, then you start really to like fucking like go at it, and especially if you have kids and you're like sharing a life, like there's so much
you become stuff. Roommates who don't have any sleep. Which exactly. is the scariest
and,
type of romance.
And even things like, you know, small things, like bits of your personality. Like, I like it when this is done this way and I don't do it that way. And that's the way I do it. And you if we're going to be doing this and you're doing it this way, it's like, you know, it's all that all the time. But we had mm-hmm. a date night scheduled, and we were like fighting so bad that like in the middle of the day, there was a moment over text. Cause like, we couldn't even get it right over text. Like, you know, and there it's like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Well, I don't care either. So we can eat anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, then it's like, well, do you just not want to go? It's like, no, I do want to go. I just don't care. Well, if you don't care, then you don't care about going. So let's just call it a night. And you're like, you know what I mean? You're like, fuck it. So they're like, there was even like a midday check in where you're like, I don't want to go. And then we, we were like, no, we're going. And we didn't make any reservations. And we walked down to this like really cool new ramen spot that just opened. And, we had been walking by it a bunch with our kids and stuff, and everyone was like, oh, I want to go there, try it. It's awesome. And we walked in, we're like, can we get a table? Like, you can sit at the bar, just sit at the bar. And we're like, okay. And even that was a fight. Like, I turned to her, I was like, you want to sit at the bar? And she was like, I guess, do you? And I was like, not really. And she's like, fine, we'll go. And I was like, no, we'll go to the bar. We'll go to the bar. It's like, we go to the bar, then we're ordering. Oh God,
it's just eggshells.
It's so tense. Like, the whole time is like tense. And so, something happened. I don't know the exact detail. It was my fault.
Tyrese walked in.
Fault. That's important. I wish Tyrese walked in at that moment. It was my fault. But I said something that was along the lines of chill out.
No.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And,
it's such an accelerant, isn't it? It is the most gasoline.
I'm trying to describe it in the most subtle way, but imagine the whole restaurant being murdered. That's what happened. Like, the whole restaurant was murdered. It got so loud and heated, and things were being said like, you're not worth it. You're not worth it. That the bartender was like, I think you guys should take this outside.
Whoa.
And no. So I was like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, embarrassed and whatever. The fight was so intense that she left. She was like, fuck it. I don't even want to be on a date with you. And she left. And so then I had that moment where the whole restaurant had just, you know, I'll take it back. They weren't murdered. I was murdered in front of them, mm-hmm. and they watched it.
And why have you stayed at this point? She's walked out. Why have you stayed? Do you?
Because we didn't have.
Where would it go?
They didn't have a check.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
So I was like, there was this like Billy Crystal moment, like, check, please, you know? And then after that, I was like, oh, shit. I don't have my wallet. And so I was like, one second, and I ran out and stopped her in the front of the restaurant, and I can only assume the whole restaurant was looking at us, fucking yelling at me, and I was just like, I'm so sorry, I need your wallet, because I don't have my wallet in the house. She's like screaming. She took a wallet out. I went, gave it to the guy.
So you're in the restaurant. You're in the restaurant waiting to pay.
Yes.
Everyone's looking at you.
I said to the restaurant, I just want to, like, let you guys know, like, that was my fault. I'm in the wrong. You know, I mean, like, it was so unnecessary for me to even, like,
announce yourself,
turn and talk to everybody. Like, it was so presumptuous.
Hey,
like,
guys, you know what I mean? Adam
Powell. Well, I mean, it was a small New York City restaurant, you know, and they had just seen me for 15 minutes, like, through an appetizer, get eviscerated to the point where, like, she left the restaurant and I chased her down to get the money, come back in. And so I was like, I just want to let everyone know it's my fault. And the bartender from like across the room loudly goes, no, it wasn't. And I was like, you see? You see? Do you see? I was like, where is she? And then it was so... Meanwhile, we've never gone back to that restaurant.
Of course.
And it was really hard. And I still, like, 6 months now, and like we're in a much better place. Like, we're really doing well, and like everyone's happy. And I want to walk by the restaurant, like the insecure, desperate part of me wants to walk by the restaurant with like with my family and be like, see, it all worked out.
Well, look, I'm incredibly glad that you were able to work it out. I'm very sorry that you lost that ramen place. That is a true, genuine tragedy.
It is a hit.
But also, I love hearing a date story that happens within an existing marriage. Mm. That's we need more stories like that, because I bet that shit happens all the time. We only associate it with single life, but I love hearing that. And thank you for sharing that story. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Question. Yeah, go on.
Okay, let's just say.
Don't do this, Lamorne. Don't do this.
You don't have to say it.
What can you? Just give me something else to say.
I'll tell you what not. I'll tell you what not to say. Don't say relax.
Yeah. Don't say calm down. Do not say calm down. Never say calm down. Calm down is the worst. It goes calm down, relax, chill out. I think. Yeah.
At least I was in the order.
Yeah. Lower three. Yeah.
Can you massage her temples and go, ooh, easy, easy?
Nope.
No. If you want to lose a finger, then absolutely. Yeah.
No way, man.
Can you rub her womb and just say, oosa, oosa?
I think touching.
What are you saying, Lamorne? Oosa?
Oosa, oosa.
Yeah. Talk to her like she's a white noise machine. Yeah.
No, I think what I tend to do is
because I'm softly spoken, and I become like alarmingly softly spoken when I'm angry to the point of near silence. I turn into Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada. So it's just a cruel whisper.
That wasn't a question.
Yeah, exactly. And I start calling him Andrea, which is really odd. But I just say, do you think it would be possible for you to lower your voice? And I think that is the closest you can get. And even that normally means someone will go, no, I can't fucking lower my voice. Yeah. But at least you haven't committed the cardinal sin of the top three gasoline
That's pretty
phrases,
good,
right? Yeah. Would it be possible for you to lower your voice? You're not demanding. You're asking if it's possible. And you're not even asking them to do it. You're just checking if that's a possibility. So for me, that feels like the most fire hazard safe.
Same thing.
Way of de-escalating.
That's the same thing.
Or I sometimes speak in an Indian accent just to throw him, you know, I throw him and then he doesn't know what the fuck is going on or who he's now arguing with. I highly recommend that to anyone, regardless of their race. An Indian accent.
I'm gonna
huge diffuser.
That by saying, let's all not do that.
Because I was about to start working on my. Nope.
Lamorne, as much
Lamorne,
as
you're off base, you're off base.
Lamorne,
on every level.
I can't chill out. Cancel.
Lamorne, chill out.
What?
Oh my god. Okay. Bad dates. Before you go, I have one last thing. Which is that I asked our listeners to send in some of their bad date stories, and someone wrote in something that I thought you would all enjoy. So I'm going to read it to you quickly, and I'd love to hear any thoughts or questions that you may have. So someone wrote in and said, a few years ago with my high school prom, a few days ago, I finally worked up the courage to ask a beautiful classmate to go with me. She shockingly said yes. I rented a tux, bought a corsage for her. Don't worry, Tyrese is not in the story, and knocked at her door. But nothing could have prepared me for what happened next. Her mum opened the door, technically wearing a terry cloth robe, but it was open down the middle, and she wasn't wearing anything under it. Okay, starting to feel like The Graduate. I swear to God I didn't look, but my peripheral vision still made me aware of something that I can never unsee. Like a stammering idiot, all I can mumble is, I can't quite believe he said this, I can see where your daughter gets her looks. Mum is not happy. She calls for her daughter, and then I hear what I hope is my date coming down the stairs, but it gets much worse. Down walks her father, and I shit you not, he is completely naked. As he walks downstairs, he sees me and cups himself with both hands. I'm very close to passing out. And then two things happen simultaneously. The dad walks towards me, removing a hand from his junk to shake my hand. Oh, with the penile imprint? Absolutely not. I start to back up out of a reflex. Just then, my date comes to the door and we walk out. So I manage to escape without having any contact with Dad's nut fingers. Ugh, let's never say nut fingers again. She sees how freaked out I am and says her parents embrace the nudist lifestyle, a bit like your freegan, which was not exactly news to me. We get in my car and at the first stoplight, my shitty used car stalls and I can't get the engine to turn back on. I realise my fictional god was giving me an out, but she says that we can walk to her place and her dad can give us a ride. Possibly a naked ride. I jokingly ask if we should just call ahead to make sure he puts some pants on, and she flips out, screaming at me that the only reason he walks around nude is because of the fungus he got on his balls when he was in the Marines. Oh my God.
Wow. So it's honorable.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, look at what he did for this country.
Yeah.
She hops out, slams my dead car's door shut, screaming that I will never understand the word parrotism. I correct her, asking if she meant to say patriotism, and the next thing I know, she is throwing her high heels at my face and screaming that she would rather watch her mum spread ointment on her dad's sick balls than go to the prom with an asshole like me. And after some random AAA dude helped me start my car, I spent the rest of my prom night with him in my tux, getting drunk behind a Burger King. Oh, babe!
Oh, babe.
Oh,
that is a young and scarring experience. Oof. That's a big night, prom night.
Damn.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What do you do? What do you do in that situation? Have you ever had any nudist parents? Or, no. Like, you know, parent-in-laws? The fuck are you supposed to do in that situation?
My parents would take me to a nude beach growing up. And so I'd have to see all of their friends' dicks. And and it was gross. I didn't like it. But they were like hippies.
Oh,
and my mom, and there, it's weird when you're, cause like in that story, you immediately assume that they've just had sex, but if they're nudists, they're just walking around that way, which like, but I think as a young person, that is a confusing distinction to make. I remember being on the nude beach being like, is everybody here fucking? But they were all just friends just being nude. I mean, maybe they were also fucking.
Yeah. Come on, Zoe.
Stop it.
Zoe.
Stop, yeah, stop I it. Went to a few nude stop beaches when I was little.
They all have fungus.
Just let me believe fungus. That.
Sometimes the fungus thing.
They all served in the military.
No,
the fungus thing really upsets me, knowing that he knows he's got this fungus and has cupped his bollocks, his fungal bollocks, right. And then gone to shake someone's hand. Yeah. That feels a bit fucked up.
What do you think he does with his honorable discharge?
I heard he was awarded the purple shark. If he knew that they were nudists, I mean, like Zoe is saying, isn't that something like, don't you think that was part of like, he was probably like, oh, sweet, your parents are nudists. Like, you know, I don't know.
It's conceptually, you imagine that they're nude on a beach. I don't think you think right. They answer the door to what could be like, you know, an evangelical Christian who's knocking with a survey.
Right.
A Jehovah's Witness is in for a shock with this family.
Well, I guess, you know? I just feel like, when are the nudist hours then?
Yeah.
I will say this about the people at home. Shouldn't you be allowed to just have your dick out at home? Like, you should be allowed to walk around butt naked. He walked
doors
into
closed.
Their environment. It doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter. He walked into their environment. Okay.
Yeah. It is prom night.
You're gonna see what you're gonna see. You're gonna smell what you're gonna smell.
It is prom night. It is prom night.
I really enjoy it. This is the first time I've had everyone turn on a listener, and it's exciting. But we are still sorry that, you know, he will never be a parrot, according to this girl.
Oh my God.
And we are very, very sorry that he spent the shittiest night. I'm with you, mate. Like, I'm with you. I guess these bastards might not be, but I'm just saying,
if you hear that the girl you're taking to prom's parents are nudists, there's a chance they will be naked when you show up.
And look happy, because there's a chance that you and her might be naked.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's a bit like hearing that your parents clay shoot on the weekend and then them opening the door with a fucking massive rifle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'd be like, oh, right, you're clay shooters.
You're gun people. Yeah,
right.
I see
forgot. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? She did tell me you guys are clay shooters. Yeah.
If I walked into Shaq's house and there was a basketball rolling across the floor, I would go, yeah, it's Shaq's house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. We're in Shaq's house.
Not the same. Different kind of bull. Different kind of bull. all right. We are going to fight about this all night if we don't stop. So, guys, thank you so much for your excellent stories. I've had such a fucking blast. And thank you to our listener for bringing truly the most divisive essay of the entire series so far. I'm so happy to know that everyone's still alive and safe and well. And I love you all. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mwah. Mwah.
Lamorne Morris will appear in the new season of Fargo on FX. Zoe Lister-Jones created and stars in Slip on the Roku channel. And Adam Pally appears in the Netflix series FUBAR along Arnold Schwarzenegger and is in the movie Who Invited Charlie? They're all so funny. Go check out all of their stuff. Bad Dates is produced by Smartless Media and Wondery. Created by Robert Cohen. Executive producers are Robert Cohen and Jamila Jamil. That's me. Produced by Stuart Bailey. Produced, engineered and edited by Devon Torrey Bryant. Talent producer is Anne Harris. Associate producer is Maddie McCann. Music by Cushy and Evan Schletter. Executive producers are Will Arnett, Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes. Executive producers for Smartless Media are Richard Coulson and Bernie Kaminsky. If you've had a bad date and you'd like to tell us all about it, our number is 984-265-3283 and our email is baddatespod@gmail.com. We can't wait to hear all about it. That's all for this week. We will see you next time for more Bad Dates. Hello, Prime members. You can listen to Bad Dates early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.